A fantastic Monday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The 2021-2022 NBA season is over, and the Memphis Grizzlies just had their best season in franchise history. But why this team is far from its peak, though it's rewritten many of the record books when it comes to franchise history. Plus, looking forward to the playoffs and where a lot of individual players on the Grizzlies roster stand when it comes to yearly awards. That and much more on today's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. My co-host Michael Cole will be with us for much of the week. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter, DeMichael Cole, the show at Locked On Grizz. The podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app. I've been a credential media member for the Grizzlies now for a few years, have wrote about the Grizzlies for 4 years over at Grizzly Bear Blues, your host here at Locked On Grizzlies, co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. I want to remind you also of the title sponsor for our show today, which is obviously BetOnline.net. While the NBA season is over, there's still plenty of action to bet on when it comes to the play-in tournament and the playoffs. Make sure you check out BetOnline.net today. So the Memphis Grizzlies played two games this weekend, and the two games this weekend reminded you of the position that the Grizzlies were in going into the weekend. Saturday night's game reminded you just how special, just how electric, just how explosive this Grizzlies team can be when they have all their pieces that they can utilize, and they're all firing on all cylinders. A 141-114 victory over the New Orleans Pelicans. Well, then Sunday, what it simply reminded you of is that because the Grizzlies have been firing on all cylinders for most of the season, they had the opportunity to rest. A 139-110 loss to the Boston Celtics. But the end result is the Grizzlies have to feel happy with how their final tune-up for the playoffs went on Saturday night against the Pelicans. They also have to feel ecstatic with the fact that they've gotten plenty of opportunities to rest regulars. They got John Morant the opportunity to come back from his knee injury. He looked fine, though he had a bit of rust to wear off in the first half of the game on Saturday. He looked fine overall. Many of the other complimentary pieces, Dillon Brooks, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., Steven Adams, and others, they looked fine as well. And then yesterday, the reserves got one final run in a game that just didn't mean much at all for the Grizzlies. But the end result is that the Memphis Grizzlies are now 56-26. We're 56-26 this year. Again, tying the franchise record for most wins in a season. And sure, it would have been nice. It would have been, I think, well-deserved. It would have been well-earned for this team to have broke the franchise record for wins in a season. But again, they took advantage of the opportunity, having clinched the number two seed a few weeks back. They took advantage of the opportunity to get needed rest before the playoffs. But 56-26 on the season, second in the NBA in points per game. For much of the season, a top 10 defense. This team, again, was one of the few teams that for the majority of the season were top 10 in defense as well as top 10 in offense. But the biggest takeaway of all is that the Grizzlies have been able to accomplish this goal. They've been able to exceed expectations because the franchise, Taylor Jenkins and his staff, and the players, they all bought into one philosophy: being the best versions of themselves together. I know I've said that before, but it absolutely stands out, right? Being the best versions of themselves together. Now, off the court, we see that with how much this team cares for one another, with how much this team enjoys. I mean, it is as much fun seeing the reserves like Santi Aldama's dunk against Phoenix or John Conchar's dunk last night, him getting his triple-double. It's as much fun seeing the reserves experience moments they don't experience. It's just as much fun beyond seeing that as seeing the regulars react to the reserves from the bench. That's the chemistry, the camaraderie, the continuity that makes this team special. But it's also being the best versions of themselves on the court. Last night, the Grizzlies became the first team since the 1976-1970 season to have 4,000 or more rebounds, 2,000 or more, or excuse me, 800 or more steals, and 500 or more blocks in a single season. Now, that may seem like a pretty random stat, you know, just, you know, what significance does that stat have? That stat, the significance of that stat is it promotes activity. The hard work, the determination, the overall commitment that this team has to be the best version of themselves, it leads to activity on the court. We want to talk about other teams' ability to play lockdown defense. We want to talk about other teams' ability to shoot. We want to talk about other teams', you know, ability to do a lot of different things. A lot of different things that outside of activity may have more impact on the game. But again, the Grizzlies are simply being the best versions of themselves, and that's activity. Blocks, steals, rebounds, assists, points, on the run, in the paint. The Grizzlies led the NBA in several different categories because that was the direction they chose to go to be elite at as many aspects of the game as possible. And we'll get into just a moment as to how I understand that there's a narrative out there that the Grizzlies, how they've won in the post or how they won in the regular season may not translate to the postseason. I've echoed that narrative, right? You know, I've echoed the narrative that typically the way the Grizzlies are winning in the regular season may not translate to the postseason. But one thing you cannot do, and me in terms of covering the team, talking about the team, analyzing the team, others doing the same thing. One thing I feel you cannot do, even if there are other aspects of the game of basketball that may correlate more with advancing in the playoffs, you cannot ask this team to go away from it to what it does best, to go away from being the best version of itself. Sure, there are stretches where you would hope they can shoot the three well, they can defend the three well, they can pass the basketball well, their half-court offense can be above average. All those things would be great developments. But at the end of the day, this team has just tied the franchise record for wins in a season with a consistent formula that allowed for them to out-activity, out-hustle, out-score in the paint, be more aggressive, and overall just have been able to win the possession edge on a consistent basis to win ball games. This team has not only showed that the way that they're bought into being successful works, but that it consistently works to a level that it's exceeded expectations and put this team in the best position it's ever been to be a title contender. You cannot ask for them to go away from that, even if history suggests their style of play may not work in the playoffs. So the point that I'm getting at is this, is that it's wonderful to see how many wins this team has won. It's wonderful in a moment when we're going to talk about how special a lot of individual seasons have been and how it puts several individuals in the Grizzlies franchise in position to get NBA honors upcoming during the playoffs in this offseason. But the biggest takeaway overall is that this team has won the games that it's won. This team has been as dominant as they have been. I believe that the first time, you know, that they're one of only four teams now since 2000 with 14 or more wins of 25 or more points in a season. They've been dominant. And it's amazing to see the turnaround that this Grizzlies team has experienced when they were getting dominated at times, especially on the road, to start the season. The formula that has led them to this point has worked because everybody is bought in, and they fully believe that by doing this formula together, it brings out the best versions of themselves. They've won that way all season long. And though many may think it may not work in the playoffs, when it comes to the Grizzlies, why fix what's not broke? And in my opinion, the biggest thing that stands out from how special this Grizzlies team has been is that they bought into a philosophy that allows for them to be the best versions of themselves, and that's exactly what they should continue to do when it comes to the playoffs. We're going to point to a few things that are going to be important as we lead to the playoffs, which are still a week away. We'll reset the scene when it comes to the Grizzlies playoff setup, plus a few things that really stand out that they'll need to do in order to advance in the postseason in just a moment. Before we do, though, I want to talk with you about BetOnline.net. It's been a crazy few weeks, right? You know, last Monday we had the national championship game between North Carolina and Kansas, which was a really good game. Then this Monday, we're now talking about the NBA playoffs, the setup for the play-in tournament, and obviously the playoffs themselves. So you've got plenty to bet and wager on when it comes to the NBA, but you've also got boxing, you've got golf, baseball has started back up. Yay! Go Braves! You got UFC. You've got so many different sports that you can wager and bet on when it comes to what you enjoy. And the great thing is that betonline.net, you have the ability to bet and wager on sports. It's the fastest and easiest way for you to do it. Not a lot of hassle. And it's very easy to repeat as you do it time and time again. They've even got Vegas casino games that you could take advantage of. Make sure you check out the betonline.net on your mobile device or laptop today. Can't thank you enough for joining the Locked On Grizzlies podcast as your first listen of the day. But as we know, it's also draft season coming up. The WNBA draft is certainly tonight. Check out Locked On Women's Basketball for the latest on everything WNBA draft. But also check out your favorite Locked On College podcast of your choice as the NFL draft is right around the corner as well, getting you prepared for NFL teams to take advantage of adding to their future. After making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day, check out your favorite Locked On College podcast of choice. So the Grizzlies are now in the playoffs, the number two seed. And the great thing is that we now know a week before it happens, we now know when the Grizzlies' first playoff game will be. On Saturday, April 16th at 2:30 p.m., the Grizzlies will tip off against the number seven seed in the Western Conference. But the key caveat is this. We still don't know who that's going to be. That's going to take place tomorrow night. Minnesota versus the Clippers. So, yes, the Grizzlies will be playing one of two teams, the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Los Angeles Clippers. And by the time that we have our Wednesday episode, we'll know who that is. And myself and DeMichael Coe will break it all down for you later on this week as to how the Grizzlies can find success against whoever they play. So, again, the Grizzlies, game one of their playoff pursuit, game one of the 2022 playoffs for the Grizzlies will be Saturday, April 16th at 2:30 p.m. in Memphis, either against the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Los Angeles Clippers. But after last night's game, I put together a little bit of a video, explanation, dialogue, whatever it may have you. What will allow the Grizzlies to be able to not only win, but advance in the playoffs? What can they do to make this year different than from last year? And I think three key things stand out as far as what the Grizzlies can do. Piggybacking off what I said in the first segment, the first thing that they can do is set the tone early in games to play at their style. Again, the offensive rebounds, the assists, the turnovers, the deflections, getting out on the run, scoring in the paint. It's the possession battle. The Grizzlies have done it all year long. If they can set the tone early where they are getting out on the run, they're getting up three, four, five shots, you know, more than their opponent within the first few minutes of the game. They're complementing it by making threes. If the Grizzlies can use a swarm of activity, and then they can complement that, especially with a shooting surge from a Jaren or a De'Anthony Melton or a Jaw to support Desmond Bane. If the Grizzlies can do those things, heavy activity early on to set the tone and get the possession edge and really set the tone early that they're going to play with the lead, the Grizzlies can win games on a consistent basis. So establishing what they do well, establishing the formula that has led to success for the Grizzlies, if they can do that early, I think that's going to be a big narrative that supports them not only winning but advancing in the playoffs. The second thing, though, is balance. Listen, activity is a great thing. It absolutely is. Getting the offensive rebounds, getting out on the run, being able to create turnovers, all those things, scoring in the paint, all those things are wonderful. But the thing is that there's a reason why NBA teams are now in the playoffs. And when you play a team that has earned the ability to get to the playoffs time and time again, those opposing teams are going to make adjustments. Teams are going to collapse the paint against the Grizzlies on a consistent basis. They're going to want to take Jaw's ability to get to the rim away. They're going to want to prevent Steven Adams from getting those offensive rebounds. So what do the Grizzlies have to do to counter that? Offensive balance. I've talked about a particular stat several times over the past few weeks, and that is 25-plus assists and 10-plus threes in games. This year, the Grizzlies overall are 35-7. Now, several of those seven losses have been when the Grizzlies were without some of their key players. As a matter of fact, three of them have happened this week. Sunday's game against Boston, Thursday's game against Denver, as well as Tuesday's game against Utah. But if you take out a lot of those losses, when the Grizzlies either didn't have anything to play for or they were without some of their key members, the Grizzlies, and I think at one point this year, were 28-0 when they had 28 wins in a row when they had 25 or more assists and 10 or more threes. And why that is such a key stat, why that stands out to me as being more significant than others, it leads to two things. If the Grizzlies are going to be facing opponents that are going to be packing the paint, the Grizzlies' ability to counter that is going to be critical, and that comes to good ball movement, which is the 25 or more assists, and being able to hit high percentage shots from three, which obviously are the 10-plus threes. If the Grizzlies are able to get those 25-plus assists and those 10-plus threes, they've effectively been able to counter opposing defenses collapsing the paint. And now opposing defenses have to be honest. They can't sit here and just take away one thing because the Grizzlies are being able to find a way to succeed. Being able to counter, being able to at different times for different stretches, being offensively productive for one reason or another. Perhaps at one point it's getting on the run because they're causing turnovers. Perhaps at one point it's getting in the paint consistently. But perhaps at one point it's the Grizzlies being able to hit threes. The more ways the Grizzlies have the ability to be productive on offense that provides them with the resource of counters. So if the defense is looking to take away one opportunity, the Grizzlies can come back with another. So 25-plus assists and 10-plus threes. The Grizzlies, if they can consistently do that, they're doing all that they can to put themselves in a position to win. And then for me, number three is Jaren Jackson Jr. That absolutely stands out. Jaren Jackson Jr., who legitimately has a Defensive Player of the Year resume. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But Jaren Jackson Jr.'s activity on both ends is what is key for me. If he can get two or more blocks, a steal, a couple of threes or more, per game, he can average 15 to 20 points to go along again with three or four or more stops. That shows he is making a difference on both ends of the court. And if he can be a two-way producer to support Ja and to support Bane, being hopefully one of the top backcourts in the playoffs, that means, again, that these Grizzlies have balance. They've got an inside-outside presence on both ends of the court that is getting the job done. But that's correct. Listen, the biggest impact, the most important critical component of the Grizzlies making a deep playoff run is Ja Morant. Second to that is Morant and Bane becoming one of the better backcourts in the NBA. That's how they've been able to beat some of the NBA's best teams this season. But these other three factors that I mentioned, early activity to set the tone, offensive balance to be able to counter if teams collapse the paint, and Jaren Jackson Jr. being a two-way difference maker. These three things, in my opinion, are what stand out. And if the Grizzlies, game in and game out, can find success in at least two of those three areas, I feel that they've done all that they can to put themselves in a position to win. That's all that you can ask of them. But at the end of the day, if we're going to talk about an individual roster member being the biggest component, the biggest contributing factor to the Grizzlies' success, it's Jaren Jackson Jr., and he's shown time and time again he can step up and do that. That's why he's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. We'll discuss his candidacy as well as a few others when it comes to yearly awards in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk with you about Built Bar. Listen, I just talked about the fact that if the Grizzlies can have multiple ways they can find success on offense, they're going to have options that succeed. Well, the good thing for you when it comes to Built Bar is that when it comes to the Built Bar options you can choose from, you have many different options you can choose from that are going to make you succeed. When you go to Built.com, you can choose from 18 different flavors. And the great thing is that they come in puffs, they come in bars. You can have them in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack. Whenever you choose to have them, they're going to make your day better. When you go to Built.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you by putting in the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order for Built Bar. Make Built Bar a part of your day today. You can go to Built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 50% off your next order from Built Bar. On tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, me and DeMichael Cole will be back together talking about our big takeaways from the end of the season and really what we're looking forward to again when it comes to potential matchups. Who would we prefer, Minnesota or the LA Clippers? We'll break that down on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So a byproduct of the Grizzlies having as special a season as they had is that, yes, while this group for it sincerely and for every reason are about the group more than they are about themselves. Listen, this group also should take pride in the fact that several of its members are in line to be honored when it comes to NBA awards. For instance, let's start with Ja Morant. Ja Morant absolutely has been one of the more improved players in the NBA this season. And I want to give a bit of a take on, is Ja Morant, you know, should Ja Morant be in the running for most improved player? You've heard Draymond, you've heard Ja. Those opinions are what matter at the end of the day, because nobody gets it like the players when it comes to these individual awards and what it takes to be in the running. But I do want to say, to Ja's credit, in my opinion, there certainly has been a clear improvement. When people were coming into this year thinking that it would be a successful year for Ja Morant if he simply made the All-Star team, yet he's leapt past that to being an All-Star starter, a top 10 MVP candidate, a likely first or second All-NBA team player, that's a huge leap in what was expected. So there has been significant improvement when it comes to Ja Morant. Now, going from what Ja was to what he is now, it may not be as big of a leap as someone like where a Desmond Bane was to where he is now, but I do think that if Ja Morant wins the Most Improved Player Award, he certainly has deserved it, even if others have made bigger actual leaps in their game. So the first thing I'll say is this, is that yes, Ja Morant certainly is likely in the running for Most Improved Player. And even though he may not be the most logical choice, I think that's the best chance that a Grizzlies player has at winning an award. Now, at the end of the day, whether or not Ja wants it, you know, of course, that's up to him. But I do think that, yes, there is a validity on the side of the fact that he certainly should be and win the award. But there's also validity in the fact that, let's just be honest, he is an MVP candidate. Others probably have just as good of a case and are maybe more deserving than where Ja was to where he is now versus where those other players were to where they are now. But the other thing that I'll say is this, is that despite that individual award, we know that Ja probably is not going to win the MVP. Obviously, he's not a top candidate. It seems as if he's admitted that himself. He's only played 57 games this year, but the key is that when he's played at a very rare level. Over the past 50 years in the NBA, there have been only 24 times a player has averaged 27 or more points, 6.5 or more assists, and 5.5 or more rebounds in a season in which they played at least 55 games. It's only happened 24 times. Here's some names that are on that list. You ready for this? LeBron James has done it 7 times. James Harden has done it 5 times. Russell Westbrook and Luka Doncic have each done it 3 times. Larry Bird has done it 2 times. Then you have Michael Jordan, you have Dwayne Wade, and you have Ja Morant. And I think that I'm missing someone else. But my point is this, is that that just goes to show the level that Ja Morant has played at this year. It's not that he's made a leap. He's made a leap to put together a season that has rarely been seen over the past half century in the NBA. In 20 of those 24 times that a player has met that threshold in terms of per-game averages in a single season, in 20 of those 24 times, that player made first or second team All-NBA. It truly shows that if you're at that level for 55 games or more in a season, you're a top 10 player of the NBA. Ja deserves those honors. I feel that likely because of the fact that he's only played 57 games, you're probably going to see Ja Morant make the second All-NBA team. I think that there are 5 guards right now who are above others when it comes to All-NBA honors. Luka, or that are considered guards. Luka, Devin Booker, Steph, Trae Young, Ja. I honestly do think that there is a very valid case that Luka and Devin Booker deserve to be on the first All-NBA team. All-NBA first team. I think Ja is clearly second. So just from the season that he's had, considering the fact that he's missed some games, I think Ja Morant clearly has a case to be on the All-NBA second team. Speaking of All-NBA teams, the other one obviously that stands out is Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, when you look at the activity, the level of blocks, steals, the impact of the rim, and the fact that he's played all season, Jaren Jackson Jr. should absolutely be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to win it. I think that at the end of the day, a player with more of a reputation like a Rudy or a Marcus Smart or somebody like that, I think that a player such as that is probably going to win it. I do think that Jaren is right up there when it comes to legitimacy with a Mikal Bridges or a Marcus Smart in winning the award. But do I think he's going to win it? I think that it's more likely and not that, it's more likely he won't than he will. Though if he does, he absolutely deserves it, and he should be ecstatic, and the team should be as well if he were to win it. But I will say, and Stan Van Gundy talked about this last night, Jaren Jackson Jr., without a doubt, should be a first-team All-NBA member. I feel that there should be a bigger uproar. It'll be a bigger travesty if Jaren doesn't make the All-NBA first team than if he doesn't win the Defensive Player of the Year award. I think that the track record of Jaren, the reputation, that's something he's still building. That hopefully will contribute to a few other Defensive Player of the Year award campaigns in the future. But yes, I do think that I think Jaren Jackson Jr. has put together a good enough resume where if he's named Defensive Player of the Year, it won't be something that people think is a farce or a travesty. I think he certainly deserves to have the Defensive Player of the Year honors, but will he win it? I don't necessarily know if that's going to happen, but at the very least, he should be first team all defense in the NBA. The other thing that stands out is that, of course, Desmond Bane being in the running for most improved player. I will say I do think he clearly has a case, but I also think that there are others who probably have taken a bigger leap to a more significant level when it comes to their overall ability to win the award. You could talk about Jordan Poole. You could talk about Darius Garland. You could talk about several other players, obviously Ja in that campaign as well. Desmond Bane certainly deserves to be in the discussion because he's come from being, you know, a shooting specialist off the bench to legitimately being one of the top five shooters in the NBA this year. That is a huge leap, and also has come together with Ja to form one of the best backcourts in the NBA unexpectedly. So, yes, Desmond Bane certainly has a case for most improved player, though I think it's going to be likely another player is going to win it. And then, of course, we get to, obviously, I went on my soapbox last week discussing Taylor Jenkins as Coach of the Year, and I stand by what I said. It's not a matter of saying that Monty Williams doesn't deserve the award. And it's not a matter of saying he should have won it last year. Monty Williams should have been the Coach of the Year last year. If he wins Coach of the Year, this year, he deserves it. I just think Taylor Jenkins is more deserving. I think Taylor Jenkins has done more with less to get to where he is, having the second best record in the NBA. I absolutely think he has when you consider injuries, when you consider exceeding expectations, so on and so forth. I think that no coach has done a better job this year than Taylor Jenkins. The record shows it. The ability of consistency, even without his best player, shows it. Taylor Jenkins has done a better job than anybody else in the league at coaching this year, and he deserves Coach of the Year honors as a result. Now, at the end of the day, the Grizzlies may not win any individual awards. In all honesty, I think we're going to see several Grizzlies finish in the top three of certain awards. But I'll tell you this. For me personally, what I would like to see, I will be satisfied if this occurs. If Ja Morant makes second All-NBA team or better, if Jaren Jackson Jr. makes first All-Defensive NBA team, and Coach Jenkins' top three is Coach of the Year. If those things happen, there's not much to complain about. At the end of the day, the right people got the right honors for how special they've been this year. That's what I would like to see. Now, if Ja wins Most Improved, if Jaren wins Defensive Player of the Year, if Taylor Jenkins wins Coach of the Year, everyone in Grizz Nation should be as ecstatic as they can be. But the big overall key is this. Let's go back to the first of the year. And I had three questions that I wanted to see answered. Can Ja Morant prove that he clearly can be the leader of a potential title contender? Can he get on an all-star level or better? He's answered that with a resounding yes. Can Jaren Jackson Jr. turn into a two-way difference maker? Can he become someone that clearly can make a difference and be the two or three guy on a potential contender, on a team to support Ja Morant? The answer has been a resounding yes. Can Taylor Jenkins prove without a doubt, despite how successful he's been during this rebuild. Can he prove without a doubt he's the guy to lead this Grizzlies team as they become a sustainable winner and a contender? The answer is a resounding yes. So, yeah, it'd be great to verify those yeses with some individual honors in terms of NBA yearly awards this year. But at the end of the day, the most successful barometer, or the best barometer you can use, in my opinion, to show that how special this Grizzlies team has been, is that the Grizzlies have a true championship contender core moving forward with the coach that has proven he can take them there. That's what stands out to me, even with the playoffs on the horizon. Can't thank you enough for joining us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. You can check out the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, DeMichael Cole at DeMichael C. Check us out on YouTube as well. Hit that subscribe button below. Lets us know you enjoyed the show and allows for us to know that others can see the show as well for all the great Grizzlies content that we've got coming up when it comes to the playoffs. The season is over. The journey is now done in terms of the Grizzlies getting to where they wanted to get all year long. Now, the ascent to the top begins, and the Grizzlies are one of the most prepared teams, in my opinion, to get there. We'll have much more coverage on the Grizzlies leading up to their first playoff game this weekend. We'll have much more coverage on this week's editions of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. We'll talk to you then.